In a very short time, we've been forced to reevaluate our values. Values related to employment, family, and home. As we come out of two history-making pandemic years, connecting with others is more important than ever. But it's safe to say that the way we can and want to connect has changed. We are not-for-profit professionals supporting adults to live, work, and grow in a rapidly changing world. Connection means that we need to work together to build and put into practice whole and multifaceted plans for our clients so that they can reach their own personal successes. For some of us, life is returning to pre-pandemic norms, where we work out of an office on a set schedule. Others may have no office to return to and may spend working hours on a couch or kitchen table in their own home. And some may be straddling schedules where they sometimes go to the office and sometimes work in their own personal space. These experiences are the same for our clients who are navigating a world that is still deciding what work-life will look like. How can we support them while adapting ourselves? Whoever and wherever you are, if you support adults in learning and life, the Getting Connected podcast may be for you. Join us as we talk through relevant topics that support you to do your best work. Grab a coffee, give us just a few minutes of your workday, and let's connect. Hi, everyone. I am Ashley Hoth Murray, and you are listening to the Getting Connected podcast. I am here today with, I think it's safe to say, my most beloved guest, because today I get to interview my husband, Nathan Murray, and it's going to be quite interesting to talk to him tonight. We are doing this tonight because, you know, as parents with young children, this is the only time that we can find to record. So you might hear some noise in the background when one of our kids asks for a snack, because I'm sure that might happen. Anyway, let's get back to business. And today we are going to talk about second career. And second career, you may or may not remember, really came around, how many years ago?
2007, 2008, somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's when you, because Nathan was actually part of the Second Career program right at the very beginning. And the reason why we're talking about that tonight is because Better Jobs Ontario, which is kind of a program that's all the rage right now, we're trying to get clients to use it to retrain and upskill to go into jobs that are sustainable and that they will be successful in. And Second Career really was the pioneer program. So it was the beginning of what Better Jobs Ontario has become. So I'm going to ask Nate some questions today because he actually went through the Second Career program. So first off, welcome, honey.
Thank you. I don't know. Maybe we can count this as a date night.
Welcome to the show. And first, I'm going to ask, how did you find Second Career all those years ago?
I think I found it likely online, to be honest, is where I think I found it.
You found it. Gase still tells the story. So
I don't know. It's been a long time ago. I don't remember exactly where it was, but I imagine I found it online. After I'd been laid off from a job when I was looking for something else to do and stumbled upon this as an option because, you know, I'd been laid off. We had just bought our first house and, couldn't afford to, just go out and find something new to do and started looking online as to options and found it this way. May have heard a radio ad too.
Oh,
I think that may have happened, may have triggered me researching it, but
yeah, I think the video that we talk about so often might actually be the program or the job that you were interested in retraining in. Now that I think about it, because you ended up Second Career helped pay for you to retrain in what field? Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, it helped me retrain in the natural resources law enforcement field. So, which at the time, so this is going back 2009. It was quite interesting. I was in a class of just under 40 students, and there was about 10 of us that were all second career students. So be that, you know, ex-military people, to there was a gentleman in the class that he was, for sure, I was what, just 29 at the time. Well, this you know, at the time felt like this guy was the old guy of the group, and he would have been in his you know, early 50s, yeah, even doing second career at that point in time. So it was kind of a mixed mash of a bunch of us at that point in time, going through the law program for natural resources, law enforcement career.
Yeah, that's very cool. Do you have any sense how many of those people in second career, did they all finish the program?
No, they all didn't. It was a tough program we were in. So that that made it difficult for some of them to get through. And I do know that some of them are in the law enforcement field of one form or another. Some of them I don't think ever really plan on necessarily doing a true typical law enforcement career, but they're still in the natural resources you know, field standpoint, but not a law enforcement field.
So it helps them retrain though in a field that they were able to get a job that they gained the skills so that they could have a sustainable job similar to what they were retraining in.
Yeah, it gave them access to something they may not have had access before, because the program, if you recall back then, paid for 100% of your tuition. It didn't pay for things like living costs. You were on the hook for your own living costs. But I think that was the idea behind it, because it's a second career. So you could think, if you're talking about a second career, that means I had a first career beforehand. So I was likely working before, and I would have had things in place. You know, it's different than coming out of university or college, where you're starting out brand new. You know, you have, when you're going through a second career, you have a house, be that being an owner, or you're renting. You have your life a little bit more established than a 21-year-old starting out. So that's why, you know, at 29, I was one of the older students in the program, but I was not the oldest. And within the second career group, I definitely wasn't the oldest. So we're, you know, it was an opportunity for you to gain access to technical training that was career specific, at least for me.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because so one of the big differences between second career and what is now Better Jobs Ontario is Better Jobs Ontario lets you retrain for 52 weeks. And I believe second career, when you were part of it, you could have done more than the 1 year program, or I guess it was eight month program. I've worked with a lot of second career clients over the years, and I've never thought about it like that, because the way the clients that we were always referring were clients that maybe wouldn't have considered that they had a first career. And I wonder if that's why we've seen the shift in branding to Better Jobs Ontario, because at the time when you're talking about going through the program, we were seeing a lot of layoffs in the manufacturing sector. And so those people were probably the guy that you were talking about, you know, in his 50s. Those were the type of clients that were being laid off, and they were looking for a second career. Now we're seeing people that are more, they've maybe jumped from job to job, and Better Jobs Ontario is trying to really upskill maybe people that haven't had a first career, like you've mentioned.
Well, I think everybody that was there, they definitely were like in a second career.
Hmm.
You know, the two individuals that come to mind for sure out of the group of us, you know, one, he served in the Canadian Armed Forces for, you know, 10 years before leaving the Canadian Armed Forces as actually he left as a military police officer. So he was already in law enforcement, but he didn't want, and he could have moved directly into typical municipal law enforcement. So a typical policing background, because that's where he came from, but he didn't want to do that. So the second career program gave him the opportunity to retrain in the natural resources law enforcement side of things. And then the other individual, you know, he was a forester by trade. So, you know, he cut down trees. So he was already working in the natural resources field, but was really interested in working in the law enforcement side of it. So he got laid off from the forestry company he was working for, and was able to come in and retrain in his 50s to go down the law enforcement side of things.
Wow, very cool. So my next question is, how exactly did the second career program impact your life?
Well, I think you would probably know this better than anybody else, because it impacted not just my life, it impacted impacted our life. It drastically changed the trajectory of our lives and my career. You know, when I went into the program, we were still relatively young, having purchased our first house a few years earlier, or just that year actually when I went into it, we just purchased our house. Or moved into our first house, and it took me from not being 100% sure where I saw my career going into landing in a job that was a career job. Since I left the program or left the course in 2010, I've been consistently in the natural resources law enforcement world. So I now have 13 years of natural resources law enforcement experience under my belt because of this. It gave us the ability to, focus on paying our bills and not having to worry about paying tuition. We were able to do that. It was one less thing, because at the time, you were paying the mortgage on the house because you were working, and I was paying rent in my small flea-bitten room in Peterborough.
Yes, that's another story. But.
but it allowed us to do that and not have to worry about stressing, where am I going to get $6,000 to pay tuition?
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then have no income coming in. Now, you were on EI at the same time, so you did have a small income.
You were on EI, not when you say you.
Oh, sorry, me. I was on EI.
I was not on EI. I was working for Literacy Link Niagara.
So it was just an added incentive, and I was able to get out of the unemployment world with a very specific skill pretty quickly.
Yeah, I just want to go back because it was interesting. I knew you were going to go down that road when you talked about impact, but it flagged for me a little bit when you were saying, I think these programs are wonderful and they really help. They helped us. They changed our life for sure. But in the moment, though, the impacts that I remember are, you were away from home and because that's where the program was. And, our life for that year wasn't where we expected it to be. And it's important to remember that, people, students, second career clients, Better Job Ontario clients, they don't, live on their own. They live within, families and they have these lives. And so there's definitely an impact in the moment. Now for us, that long-term impact, really has, changed our lives because not only have you been in the field for 13 years, but I would say that your mental health completely changed because you were in a job before that maybe wasn't giving you the same inspiration, motivation, passion that you have for your current field. So that second career.
Well, I think when you take this concept of a second career, I think a lot of people maybe fall into their first career. You come out of university and you think back to those days or college or whatever program you're coming out of, and you're taking kind of the throw it at the wall, see what sticks approach to job applications, right? You're applying to everything because you don't really know what you want to do. And obviously this is in reference to, both you and I went to university for liberal arts programs. So we didn't come out with technical skills from the program. So you're coming out in the world really saying, hey, I can do anything, I think. And you're not sure where you're going to go. And so when you do go down to the second career world, you've already played in that, I'm not sure what I'm going to do world. You've been in there for a while and maybe you've landed in something that you like or you don't like. And then life throws you a curveball because, to be honest, when I was, when I was laid off, I was in a job that I did like. I don't know if you remember what job it was. But I was in a job. I was coordinating a school program to help out youth, and I did like the job.
Yeah, but you can like the job, and now, that's very different now, than the job you're but in
between,
now.
Between when I got, so this is the interesting part of the program. It'd be eligible, I think, at the time. You just had to be laid off within the last 12 months, of the job. So I had moved on to another job that I did not like.
Right.
And I wasn't happy in that job. And so the second career, because it was within that 12-month period, I was able to then fall back and go on to the second career program.
Yeah, and I think obviously looking back, it was the right decision. And you know, you've been with two really great organizations, both in I guess regional conservation protection and then now federal protection, and it's just the right job for you. So it's been an amazing impact for our families.
It's true though. It was an interesting program, and I think it was one that was, at least for the people that I saw that were part of it, was successful. You know, again, I know a few of them that are in jobs because of it, and I can say that I'm in a job because of it. And
I'm going to jump in. I want to ask this question that I didn't prep you for.
Okay.
That just came to me. Can you think back?
I'm not sure if you prepped me for any questions.
No, like I wrote them down.
You did give me a couple of questions, but to be fair,
most guests are treated a little better. But
these questions were just like left on the side table.
Okay. Well, anyway. So do you remember the experience of going in? Because you went to an employment service agency.
I did, yes.
Do you remember that experience? And is there anything that you can tell us about that experience as a client who had never been involved in employment, in reaching out to an employment service before?
Yeah, it was pretty, the experience itself was quite straightforward. I think I went in, and I can't speak to other clients that would go in, but I went in having done my research about the program and what was required, so that I could, you know, that I could go in with proper questions and hopefully proper answers. Because really, it was more about the program wanting to know about me, you know, because they wanted to assess my eligibility to see if I was, if I was eligible. So this was pre-COVID years. So it was the ability to go in and have a face-to-face conversation with somebody and sit down at the desk and go through and say, okay, you know, what are you doing? What do you want to do? We'd already targeted this program that I'd wanted. Like this is a program that...
Well, your wife was also...
Yes, you're in the industry, so that was a huge advantage.
But you didn't go to any program that I was related to.
No. I think I went to a program in like Lindsay, Ontario.
You did.
Because it was already... if I recall correctly, we had already ended up going down the road of trying to become part of this course. And then while I was doing this, when I found out about a second career, and so we scrambled to try to see if we could be eligible for it, to take advantage of the fact that there was provincial funding out there for individuals like myself that had been laid off. So it was good. Like the woman I worked with, she really went out of her way to make sure that we got all of our I's dotted and our T's crossed as quickly as possible, so that way the eligibility could be submitted. And I didn't end up making myself ineligible by going down the road. So no, it was, all in all, it was good. The person was well educated in the program and got me through. Now this was kind of the heyday of the program, right? So, yeah. And there was a drive. And I think I know this a little bit from working, from listening to you talk about your job. I would suggest, if I think back on it, that this organization likely had a target to meet of a number of clients that had to go through and be assessed for second career eligibility. I would guess that was the case because, again, she worked really hard to get me through, right?
There probably was a target. On the other hand, most employment service counselors that I know, staff that I know, do it for the clients. They're in it for the right reason. So they have to meet those targets, but they definitely are there to support. I'm sure that person believed that you were the right candidate to go through. Yeah, but it's just interesting to hear, to have somebody who I'm so close to, who has been through this, and now we have this Better Jobs Ontario, and to go on to eligibility for that program, I'm just going to flag a resource that Literacy Link Niagara created this year. We do have Better Job Ontario or BGO checklist, both for the regular stream and the fast track stream, and I will post that in the show. I will post the link in our show notes so that you can find it and you can either use it with clients. You can ask the questions to them aloud. You can give it to them to fill out, or you can even post it so that maybe you would have a client that, or a potential client that might be able to flag their own eligibility. So we're going to move on from second career. Now, Nate, I'm going to ask you a final question that we ask all of our guests. And this could be related to your work. It could be related to something else. I don't know what it will be related to. but what is one tool, resource, material you wish that more people knew about?
That's a very broad question.
I gave you this before.
I know you did, but you gave me these questions like 2 months ago.
And we haven't been able to find the time to record.
And we haven't. So, you know, I think the one tool, and if I want to focus, is more of a client, right? Somebody that's been through a skills-based program to get there, is a tool, and I don't even know if this exists, maybe it does, but a tool that would allow clients to more effectively or streamline the resources that are out there, you know, so that way, if I'm a client, like I dealt with second career at the last minute, and if we had a tool that would allow us to look it up and kind of like if you were looking for, you know, rebates for house renovations, if you will, you know, you can Google all the different rebates or incentives that are out there for doing green work on your house. Well, the same thing should exist in the province, that if there's a tool out there that simply says, you know what, here's all the list of programs that are available and the funding that's there. So be that a grant or a loan, like it's and as a one pager.
Well, that's hard.
So you can see that. And I recognize it's hard, but just to give an overall synopsis, like there's even TikTok videos out there now of people talking about different programs for, again, greener home renovations, right? Those exist, where people are out there, just random people talking about, do you know about this grant? Do you know about this grant? Here's how you can get solar on your house. And I think as a client, especially if you're working with clients that may not know how to navigate this world, like I was lucky, I had you. And that probably made a huge difference in my success in navigating the program. But in absence of that, just take a random person that's lost their job, that has a couple kids they're responsible for, that have a mortgage they're responsible for, that are trying to keep their kids in their extracurricular activities on a day-to-day. Like you look at our life right now, like we've got the three kids, we're running around. You and I are running around all the time with extracurricular activities. To be able to sit down and then navigate a website at 10 o'clock at night,
yeah,
to do it. Whereas if I could go to a resource that says, you know, here are the 10 programs that are out there, and I could see a quick 2-line synopsis of each program, so I can say, oh, okay, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, so. I think so. Like there are ways to find information. So like there's the FEATS database. Find Employment and Training Services in Ontario.
It's called FEATS.
It's called FEATS.
It's amazing. We have a database at work that we used to call FEATS as well. So
but it's just, I think what I'm hearing is that maybe it's not necessarily that the pro, like, because the information is there. Like anyone can go to this website. They can go to, there's several actually Employment Ontario based websites that someone could go to and find information. I think like it flagged for me when you said like TikTok, like there are clients that are using these programs. I think maybe it is about reaching people in ways that they're in mediums that they're using every day. So, you know, people use TikTok. They're scrolling at night through TikTok and this stuff comes up for them, or they're, you know, scrolling through Instagram. And, you know, we have Alpha Plus, which is a great agency in Ontario that that has, you know, can support a program through digital marketing and other digital endeavors. Maybe it's really about how we reach the client, not necessarily that the information is available, but maybe it's just not available in the right, in the right medium.
You take TikTok as an example, and you think about the push right now for skilled trades. You know, that would be a very easy TikTok video or reel of any kind, Instagram, TikTok, whatever it might be, where somebody's saying, you know, you want to be a plumber. This is for step one, step two, step three.
Yeah.
And this is your result. Like, that's a 15-second video that's there. And then there'd be a link in the bio or whatever of that video that then takes them to a more detailed website. But it would allow people, because I promise you, if there's somebody who has an interest of being a plumber, their feed on TikTok is going to be a lot of plumbing-related videos.
Yeah, the algorithms.
That's going to pick up on that. Well, that means if you have a training program that is related to that, it's going to pick up, because then they're going to look at the first one. They're going to see that. Then if there's another one, they'll see. Like, that's how it works. That's what makes these programs successful.
Yeah.
Anyways, I know that's not a resource that's necessarily out there.
Potential
right now,
resource.
But I think it's one that should be.
They might
be
out there. They're not coming up on my algorithms. So. And I do get some of the federal programs come up. QuickTrain has come up a lot recently, which is skills upgrading. Anyway, yeah, something to think about. Listeners, maybe that's something that you are doing or that you would be interested in doing. And it seems like there might be a gap, so you might be able to reach more clients. Anyway, we are going to wrap this show up because it's bedtime for three children. And
it's past bedtime.
It's past bedtime. And we still owe them a movie snack. So we're going to do that. But thanks for listening, listener, and we look forward to getting connected next time.